Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Joining me on the line is Dr. Mike Cummings, the Vice Chair of Psychiatry at the University at Buffalo, and does a lot of work helping kids with autism. And we are approaching Autism Awareness Day this week. Mike, just wanted to talk with you a little bit about this, some of the work that you do. If you could describe what you typically do and how that's changed in the, you know, new normal that we're living in right now.
Oh, well, thank you, and good morning, everyone. So we got involved with working with autism through a program that was created at the University of Buffalo with the department, myself, and our clinical director, Mrs. Janelle Van Cleve. And we created this program called APEC, APIC, which stands for Access to Psychiatry Through Intermediate Care. And we're basically a mobile psychiatric case management team that works in the community, does house calls, home visits with severely developmentally disabled individuals, typically with autism, but not exclusively so, who get stuck in hospitals, who are at risk for arrest, who are at risk of being kicked out of school or losing their home placement. So we've been doing that for about 5 years all over New York State, mostly Western New York, but across the whole state now, seeing about 1,600 families, over 2,500 house calls, and really some nice results with 40% reductions in hospitalizations and things like that. So that's what we've been doing. And over the last couple of years, we've really started to focus more and more on the most severe cases. I think a lot of people can benefit from our services, but there's only so much time in the day. So we're really working with stakeholders to see the ones who are really tough. Now, how has that changed more recently? We had already been moving to a telehealth model. We have cases in Brooklyn and Manhattan. We actually, until recently, were flying down to Brooklyn every other week to see folks. We're really moving into mobilizing our telehealth, a lot of phone family support. And you have to remember, I mean, everyone's concerned about this COVID piece, but our patients that we treat are typically in school, many with a 2-to-1 staff ratio, meaning there's two aides with every one student. So when these kids are home, their parents have to be home. These kids do not have hand hygiene. They, you know, the idea of coughing into the crook of your arm, that's a foreign idea. So it's a really high at-risk population that we're doing our best to serve in these very trying times.
So in some ways, it's the same thing that a lot of teachers are facing right now, dealing with, you know, how do we teach at home? But, you know, amplify, because you're dealing with kids with special needs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And many kids with special needs who also have medical conditions. Many of these children are not being taken care of by their parents, but they're being taken care of by elderly grandparents. And so, yeah, it's always a special population that's near and dear to our hearts, but during these trying times, it's someone that is, you know, we really need to focus on. And April 2nd being World Autism Awareness Day, it's a good time to be thinking about these folks.
Absolutely. You know, we've had you on in the past to talk about mental health and everything that really now, in the past, it was most people are dealing with, but everybody dealing with the impact of this virus and the impact of staying at home, social distancing. What have you seen over the last week when this has morphed from, you know, just a few people to now everybody staying home from work, not really being in contact with family members the way they might have been accustomed to? What are some of the issues that you've seen locally pop up because of this?
Well, you know, of course, there's stuff that everyone's talking about. I had the luxury of doing about a 35-hour shift at ECMC between from Sunday morning to late Monday evening. And it's somewhat surreal with the lack of visitors and vendors coming in. The medical staff are working extremely hard, as you can imagine, but the hallways are empty. You know, the drive home, when you're driving down transit and you're the only car on transit, it's somewhat striking and sobering, I suppose. You know, we're seeing a lot of the group. We certainly talk about the doctors and the nurses, and rightfully so, and the stress that everyone's under, particularly those who are on the front line in the emergency room or taking care of the COVID positive patients directly. Another group that I think we should be talking about that I see day to day is the direct care service workers. We're talking about the aides inside group homes or the frontline staff in nursing homes, again, with very, very high-risk populations. And in the population that we're talking about with autism, there's no such thing as social distancing. We literally will have people in severe cases holding on to mats and pads to prevent individuals from hurting themselves by banging their head on the wall, which can happen 80 times a day for some individuals. So that frontline staff that is woefully underpaid and I promise you is not having access to PPE is a group that, you know, we really are concerned about and seeing the toll on them as well.
Is there concern, you know, over the next week and a half here in Buffalo and across the U.S., really, it is a big time. You have Passover celebrations that would normally happen, Easter celebrations following that would normally happen coming up in the next little bit here, where people look ahead. They're excited about getting together with family, having those celebrations. We're being told by a lot of doctors that is not the smart thing to do, to, you know, join together as a group to celebrate these things as a family. And I'm guessing that can cause some problems, whether it's depression or just being really upset that this isn't happening the way it's used to.
Yeah, not being able to, you know, this is the whole point of staying socially connected, but doing it safely. I saw, you know, actually a really good meme on Facebook the other day that basically was saying, assume that you already are infected. Social distancing is to prevent other people from getting infected. And when you think about it in that way, I think it's a pretty powerful statement. I mean, you know, it's very near and dear to my heart. My son turned 16 on Easter Sunday, and, you know, there's not going to be an Easter celebration, and we're going to put off, you know, we'll do something within the house, but his actual birthday will happen, obviously, at a later date. Staying socially connected is so important now with loved ones, not just for our own mental health, but for their mental well-being as well. You know, reaching out, especially if it's, you know, older family members who are at higher risk and probably more likely to not even be outside, you know, walking the dog, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be particularly challenging as we go through these times. You know, you imagine in the month of May, as typical, every hotel room and every convention place is booked out for weddings that are simply going to be postponed now or done in a different way. So it's going to be very trying. It's going to affect our mental health. But, you know, we're a very resilient community, and I suspect we will step up to the plate as we do during other trying times in the Western New York area.
That's well said. Doctor, thanks so much again. That's Dr. Mike Cummings. He is the Vice Chair of Psychiatry at the University at Buffalo, helping us find a few coping mechanisms for the next couple of weeks.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.